No longer the breakfast of champions, sales of cereal have slumped.
Breakfast is a very competitive time of the day for both food manufacturers and for fast food companies.
And a group of states is planning to launch an antitrust investigation into big tech companies.
What we're hearing is that a formal investigation is going to start within a matter of a few weeks.
Plus, adult recess, it's a thing. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a look at what's behind the decline in cereal sales and what companies are trying to do about it, here's what you missed. A group of states is planning to move forward with a joint antitrust investigation of big technology companies. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The probe could begin as soon as next month. John McKinnon has more about what they're planning to investigate.
Well, they have a range of concerns. There are company-specific concerns. With regard to each of these companies, I'd say with Google, the big focus is going to be likely on their dominance in the ad tech space, but there's also possible concerns about their dominance in various mobile businesses as well. And when it comes to Facebook, there's already very clear concern about how they've used serial acquisitions of potential rivals to potentially cement their dominance in social media.
And what does big tech have to say? Alphabet's Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Apple all declined to comment. But here's John again.
They all insist that all of their marketplaces are very dynamic and very competitive. But each of them has carved out a niche, or more than one niche in some cases, where they clearly have a very strong position.
Last month, the Justice Department announced its own antitrust review. We report this investigation could dovetail with those plans. And the New York Police Department officer who faced disciplinary charges over the 2014 death of Eric Garner was fired from his job yesterday. The department said it was clear that Daniel Pantaleo could no longer effectively serve as a police officer. Gwen Carr, Eric Garner's mother, said the firing was not enough.
Yeah, Pantaleo, you may have lost your job. But I lost a son.
That's right.
July 17, 2014. I lost my son. You cannot replace that. You can get another job, maybe at Burger King, okay?
The death of Mr. Garner 5 years ago sparked nationwide protests over the use of force on unarmed black men by law enforcement agencies. And Twitter said it had suspended 936 accounts that it said represented the most active portions of a, quote, coordinated state-backed operation to discredit Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters. Following a tip from Twitter, Facebook said it, too, had removed 5 suspect accounts along with 7 pages. This is the first time the companies have pointed to China as a source of disinformation campaigns. Now, our main story this morning. It seems we're no longer cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or craving Lucky Charms. Sales of cold cereal have slumped 6% from 5 years ago. That's prompted companies like General Mills and Kellogg's to invest anew in trying to lure us back to the cereal aisle. Charlie Turner has been finding out more from Micah Maidenberg.
Micah, sales of cereals have been struggling. Why is this? Is there a lot of competition from other food makers?
Yeah, there sure is. Breakfast is a very competitive time of the day for both food manufacturers and for fast food companies. On the one hand, cereal makers are facing the fact that fast food chains are offering deals, low-priced sandwiches, breakfast burritos, and the like. And on the other hand, people are eating more snack bars, health bars, that sort of thing, as they're rushing out the door.
There's so many choices. Why eat cereal when you could potentially have something healthier from a whole bunch of different alternatives?
I mean, the cereal manufacturers would definitely say, hey, look, we're as healthy as you can get. And they've, you know, tried to step up their game in terms of offering cereals, particularly for adults that make sort of health claims. That's part of their strategy to turn this around. But yeah, the whole idea of like what constitutes breakfast now has really changed.
Doesn't this reflect broader challenges that food makers face with regard to changing consumer tastes? It's not just cereal.
Yeah, it does. Cereal is like a number of products that are in the pantry that, you know, over the course of many years and many decades actually became, you know, standard, became staples in American kitchen, but are now sort of on, you know, the wrong side of dietary trends, are having a harder time reaching younger consumers. A good example is condensed soup from soup makers like Campbell's. Everybody has that. Lots of people still buy those, but they're struggling to grow, and cereal faces similar kind of challenges.
And as a result, aren't retailers, supermarkets, aren't they selling fewer cereal brands?
Yeah, we found some data that showed that retailers have actually, over the last 3 years, like ticked down the amount of cereal they're keeping on the shelves. These are for the major brands. And that's part of the question, you know, retailers are facing is, if this is not showing a lot of growth, how can we afford to keep it sort of on the shelf when we may have other categories that are doing better?
So have sales fallen for major cereal makers, or are they flat? What's the data on that?
Yeah, sales from stores, from retail stores, are down about 6% between last year and 5 years earlier. Fell about 6% to about $8.5 billion. The manufacturers, the cereal manufacturers, their numbers have either been flat, such as in the case with General Mills, or have fallen in recent years, such as the case with Kellogg, which is known, of course, for Raisin Bran, for Special K, and many, many other types of brands.
What are cereal makers doing to revive sales?
So they say they're moving into a period now of heightened investment, you know, that they're going to spend some money to try to turn their businesses and sort of the category of cereal in general around. Kellogg, for example, came out with a new version of Fruit Loops, the first version they've come out in at least a decade. There's also a new version of Rice Krispies they've brought out. Kellogg also developed a new sort of cereal brand that's focused on digestive and kind of gut health. In a similar sense, like General Mills has, for example, a cereal where the first ingredient is almonds, and they're trying to reach, you know, those consumers that are looking for protein and sort of, you know, health benefits that they associate with nuts. And then there's all manner of new marketing partnerships, new boxes, new tie-ins with celebrity spokespersons, that sort of thing.
You can find Micah's story up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We've been talking a lot about what an inverted yield curve could portend. Hint, it starts with an R. But there is one area of the market where an inversion could be a good thing, the energy sector. Markets editor Quentin Webb explains.
There's a fascinating finding from Bank of America analysts who have looked at what happens in the last few decades when we get one of these big yield curve inversions. They've discovered that actually in the year that follows, you actually see outperformance by the energy sector. So oil and gas companies do substantially better than the rest of the market. Now, it's not immediately obvious what the kind of underlying explanation for this might be, because of course, when there's a downturn on the horizon, you might expect that things like demand for gasoline and demand for other petroleum products goes down rather than up. But it is clear, of course, that at the moment, people are trying to think about how to position themselves for what is a very significant shift in the global investing landscape. And as ever, markets are trying to think smartly about whether there is a way to profit from this and whether there's an undervalued asset somewhere out there. We have seen several years of significant underperformance by the energy sector in the US. And so maybe now there's a case for re-examining some of these rather beaten up oil and gas shares.
And now the SCED. Here's what else we're paying attention to today. The Trump administration agreed to allow some U.S. companies another 90 days to continue doing business with Huawei. Here's Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross on Fox Business explaining the delay.
There is another 90 days for the U.S. telecom companies. Some of the rural companies are dependent on Huawei, so we're giving them a little more time to wean themselves off.
The Commerce Department put Huawei on an export blacklist in May, but later granted an exception that allowed some of its U.S. customers to continue receiving support. This action extends that deadline. Finally, being an adult is hard. Newsflash. And that's why adult recess is booming. No, I'm not joking. From San Francisco to Seattle to Greensboro to Tipton, organized games of schoolyard classics like dodgeball, kickball, and hopscotch have become more common. One downside? Tweaked knees and sore muscles. You go in and think, I can do this, said one participant, but I'm not 12 anymore. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.